I brought a sermon to you guys. It's called, What Do You Want? Perhaps you can tell your neighbor shortly, what do you want? Tell your neighbor shortly that question, what do you want? What do you want? Bart, what do you want, Bart? Okay. You know, okay, now you have to listen again. In Germany, this works fine. They just ask the question and then it's all over. You know, I'm a guy, I'm super easily distracted. Sometimes I'm reading something and I'm talking to Jesus, but then there is a bird and then I'm distracted and I suddenly found myself buying something on eBay or so because I saw a bird. I don't know if you are also somebody who is super easily distracted. Are there some easily distracted people here? Come on. God bless you. However, I think distractions are super obvious and normal in our lives. And the way oftentimes we react to our distractions also reveals what is in our heart and what is important. For example, if I'm in a meeting, a very important meeting, and my wife calls, I always pick up the phone. I mean, you never know. It's better you pick up the phone from your wife. Right, Bart? Because something could have happened with the kids, or the house is on fire, or, you know, I have to pick up the phone. If somebody else will call from the church and I'm in a super important meeting, I would probably not pick up the phone. I would just think to myself, well, I can call later. If it's super important, the people will call again. So the way we react and reveals what is important to us or what is not so important to us. I think that distractions in our life oftentimes comes, and they come and then something in our heart reacts to it or not, and that reveals our values. I brought a story in the New Testament that talks about distractions and talks about the way how we should react on something that is going on in our lives that probably can be a distraction. If you have your Bible, turn them to Mark, I have it. Oh, no, I don't have it here. To Mark 15, or is it Mark 10? Check it out, the story of Bartimaeus. Is it Mark 10 or is it Mark 15? I just have here the text. The story of Bartimaeus starts at verse 46. Is it 10 or 15? Who has it? 10. Mark 10, 46 to 52. That was Gernot. That was a good guy. Okay, I will read loud out and you can follow if you want. I read from the NIV. Then they, it's Jesus and his disciples, they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, say large crowd. Large crowd. We're leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man. Cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The first question I want to ask you this morning is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You know, in the Bible, everybody who writes something in the Bible or has the privilege to have his name on some stories, they are choosing their words carefully. You know, it was not like, hey, we have like 500 manuscripts laying around and we just write something and see if it's good or not. What you can read in the Bible, every word is very important and very carefully chosen. Bartimaeus, the name Bartimaeus, is a mix between the Hebrew language and the Aramaic language. Interestingly is that Mark is writing to a Hellenistic group of people. that somehow for me means that Mark in a way wants to teach us that Bartimaeus is not just a man. He can be anybody. You know that Hebrew, Aramaic, and the Hellenistic, this was the worldview of Mark. Somehow it appears to me that Mark writing the name Bartimaeus down, that is also interesting because Jesus healed a lot of blind people in the New Testament. We only have one name, and that is Bartimaeus. Somehow, as Mark would say, you can fit yourself in the story. You can be Bartimaeus. It's not just an ordinary man, or it's not just Bartimaeus, anybody of us. Bartimaeus was a blind man, the text said. We do not know much about him, but it's interesting that Mark writes his name down. Bartimaeus also means not only son of Timaeus, it also means son of shame. And Timaeus means son of honor. Could be that Bartimaeus was blind when he was born. It's a shame to be blind. So there is a blind man, a son of shame, sitting and begging. Bartimaeus is blind, but he's not dumb. He's a smart guy. We can read here that he was begging at the main street of Jericho, the street who was leading up to Jerusalem. I mean, if you're blind and you're a beggar, I mean, you better position yourself on the main road, right? I mean, if you want some money and some good money, you better position yourself where you can probably encounter a lot of people. So Bartimaeus is a smart guy. Interesting enough, at the moment Jesus appears and Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is in town, he jumps up, and in German say, like he was bitten by a tarantula. Do you say that in Spain? Huh? No? So he jumps up like something crazy was happening. He jumps up and screams like crazy. Why is Bartimaeus doing that? You know why? He was waiting for Jesus to appear. He was waiting for divine encounter his whole life long. Bartimaeus was waiting for Jesus to come to have his moment. So when Jesus appears, the begging stopped. He was begging day in, day out, but the moment Jesus appears on the screen, money was not important anymore. Like Joseph told us. When Jesus appeared on the screen, money was not important anymore. He wanted to have a divine encounter. And so he had positioned himself in order to live this encounter out. The text also states that Bartimaeus heard Jesus was in town. I thought that was funny. I mean, obviously, dear Mark, if the guy is blind, why do you write he heard that Jesus was in town? Obviously, he cannot see, right? So why do you do that? He was blind, but he heard Jesus. And it appears to me also that Mark tries to help us to see that sometimes we can focus on our weaknesses. But what Mark wants us perhaps also to say is that we should also focus on ourselves what we can do good. You know, the blind man, he had a weakness. He could not see. But what he can do good, he could hear. And it's not a secret that blind people can hear better than people who can see, right? It's not a secret that blind people can smell better than people who can see. So I found myself here in this story, and what Mark tries us to tell, and perhaps tries to tell you also this morning, is don't focus too much on your weakness, what you cannot do, but focus on what you can do good. And perhaps your weakness is your strength. You know what I mean? Perhaps your weakness, what you cannot do, is your strength. And oftentimes, I think many people here, we focus too much on our weaknesses. You know, we fall down in self-pity. I like too much Joseph when he told us, hey, I had this car accident and I was like in a wheelchair. And you said, so what? Let's see what life can throw about me. Oh, just keep on going. Could it be something that God is telling you this morning? Don't focus too much on your weaknesses. Don't focus too much on what you cannot do and here and that and this and that. Where do you find your value and your strength? Do you find it in your weakness? You will never find it. Or do you find it in your strength? Where are you leaning on in your life? On the crutches of your weakness, or do you stand on the platform of your strength? What is your perspective this morning? Perhaps accept your blindness, but embrace your strength. Bartimaeus could not see, but Bartimaeus, he could hear. And I do also think that Bartimaeus probably had missed his divine encounter if he could have seen. I think Bartimaeus could have missed his divine encounter if he was a guy who had eyes to see. But in his weakness, he could hear Jesus, and he found Jesus on that day on the road to Jerusalem. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What is also admiring in Bartimaeus, I think, is the fact that Bartimaeus is not settling for less. You know, we know that when we see God sometimes, and I just talked to Rafi before that, when we see God, sometimes we settle for less. Perhaps that's something in your life, you're seeking God for something, you're praying for something, you're waiting for something, day in, day out, month after month, year after year, and it seems that nothing could happen, and nothing is happening. And then sometimes what we do, we settle for less. You know, Bartimaeus' perspective could have shifted from, I want my divine encounter, I want to be healed from my blindness, to, I just want to, a good day would be, let's say, have a lot of money. Perhaps when Bartimaeus was begging on the street and he's waiting for his divine encounter, for him in his mind would be, a good day is when Jesus will come, when the Messiah will come and he will heal me. That's a good day. What Bartimaeus is not doing, he's not settling for less. He's not settling for a good day is just to make a lot of money. Bartimaeus is settling for the whole thing. He wanted to be healed. Then as Jesus comes around the corner, nothing holds him back. Nothing holds him back. Nothing holds him back. What are you waiting for? Where have you settled for less in your life? Is there something in your life where you have settled for less? Perhaps you had a dream when you were young, or you had a vision. Perhaps also for this church. Where has this church perhaps settled for less? Where have you been discouraged? Where have you been, perhaps a little bit of fresh air is out of your lungs? Mark let us know that Bartimaeus was begging until Jesus came. What are you waiting for? What are you begging for? Bartimaeus was not asking for money, for earthly provision. He was looking for a heavenly encounter, and then the begging stopped. I think in your life it's the same. In my life, it's the same. When Jesus comes, the begging stops. When Jesus comes and you are begging for peace, your begging will stop. When you are begging because you're anxious, you have anxiety, when Jesus comes, the begging will stop. Amen? The second thing here is also what I think we can take this home is the question, which voices are you listening to? Bartimaeus did not settle for less, although a lot of people urged him to stop yelling. Bartimaeus had a wish. He wanted to encounter Jesus, and not one voice could stop him. Which voices are you listening to? Perhaps you're listening sometimes to the voices inside you who says, well, that Christian thing, you know, and the Bible and praying and worshiping and giving yourself away, is this really the real deal? Perhaps you have families and friends around and they tell you, hey, I mean, this thing with, you know, the church and Jesus, are you crazy? You know, yesterday also at the Ballermann, I thought three people told me, what are you doing here at the Ballermann, man? That's not a place to talk about God. You know, Which voices are you listening to in your life? Perhaps you are seeking, you are praying for years and nothing happens. Perhaps you wanted to quit, you want to throw the towel. Perhaps you wanted to settle for less. You wanted to quit sometimes. Perhaps you wanted to be a prayer warrior when you were young. And you just say, okay, well, once a week, that's enough for me. Perhaps you wanted to be a Bible teacher. And like, well, I barely can read my Bible once a week. Perhaps you wanted to be an entrepreneur and you make money in order to support the mission. And you are an entrepreneur, but there is no money going to missions or to the church. Where have you settled for less? Where have you settled for less? And which voices are you listening to? Jesus did not only ask Bartimaeus what he wants. I think also Jesus is asking you this morning, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? If Bartimaeus is somebody who we can identify, everybody, Jesus is asking you this morning, what do you want from me? When your moment will come, when the divine encounter is around the corner, when Jesus is in front of you and calls you, what is your answer to that question? What do you want from me? What is your answer? What is the answer in regards to this church? If Jesus would come and say, Santa Ponsa Community Church, what do you want from me? What is your answer? Are you guys all in? I have no idea what's going on at the moment, but my question is, are you all in? The story of Bartimaeus is amazing. I mean, if you read it several times, it's kind of funny. You know, the thing with that Bartimaeus could hear and he could not see, and I think it's a kind of funny. I think sometimes when we lose perspective and we lose these questions we have for Jesus, we lose a big part of our lives. Have questions. Have questions. Don't be afraid of not having the answers. Also on the streets, all the days, people ask me questions and I say, well, I don't know, man. Hey, but you are the studied guide. You are the pastor. You should know. I say, I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. Okay, what perspective do you have? I already talked about that we should focus not on our weaknesses, but on our strength. I talked about these questions you should really have in your mind and in your heart when Jesus comes around the corner. What do you want to answer that? And the last point this morning, and the last question is, what are you ready to leave behind? For the very first time, I think it's so interesting, in the Gospels, a man shouts a messianic title. Son of David, he shouts. Son of David. The Jews expected the Messiah would come through the lineage of David. Perhaps you all know that. God had made a covenant with David. David wanted to build a house for the Lord. We can read this in 1 Samuel. And the Lord responded to David, David, it's so nice for you to build me a house. You want to build me a house, but actually I don't need a house. You know, David was like a little bit, he built a big palace for himself. And then he woke up and said, well, that's not okay. I have a big palace. God is still living in a tent and a tabernacle. I want to build a house for the Lord. And then he comes to the Lord and says, Lord, I want to build you a house. And the Lord said, well, I don't need a house. But because you want to build me a house, you know what I'm going to do? I will build a house for you. I will build a house that is everlasting. We call it the Davidic covenant. God said to David, David, I will build you a house that will last forever. And from your house will come one day the Messiah, the one who will last forever. The king who will sit on the throne forever. It's just a beautiful story, this interchange, God and David. So there is a man sitting on the street begging for money. And when Jesus comes around, he stands up and shouts the messianic title, Son of David, have mercy on me, for the first time. Isn't that interesting? Bartimaeus knew his Bible. Bartimaeus knew what was expected. Bartimaeus knew when Jesus would come, which title he should address him. So he shouts the name, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, one thing Bartimaeus had learned in his weakness is to beg. So he was begging for Jesus. You know, I would say, Jesus and his disciples, they had no intention whatsoever to stop. They were packed. I think it was early in the morning. They wanted to go to Jerusalem. And everybody who was in Israel before know that Jericho is like super hard. It's like a little bit harder than Mallorca. I looked it up. It's 250 meters under the sea level. You know, it's down there. It's like, it's crazy. Jerusalem is up 826 feet, meters above sea level. It's around a 10-kilometer brutal walk through the desert. I would say Jesus and his disciples, they wanted to leave Jericho early, and they were about to leave Jericho early. I mean, there's nothing more annoying than being stopped right after you just left. Can I hear an amen from all the families? I mean, I turn to an animal. We are in the car. It's, you know, the struggle is real. I have 4 kids. So everybody finally is in the car because you know, you lost one or two when you make the car ready. So everybody's in the car. They were fighting and so, and then you drive to the Autobahn. And after literally, after 5 minutes, What is the sentence that's always come? Okay, toilet, I forgot something. I can't have it. Okay, because I'm a good father and I'm super patient. The first parking slot I find, I stop. So you ask your children, anybody else? No, daddy, I'm all right. Okay, so one went to the toilet. So everybody in the car again. We drive to the Autobahn. I have to go to the toilet. Daddy, I forgot it. Can you stop? I mean, I turn to an animal. Anybody feeling the pressure? Jesus and his disciples, they were about to leave Jericho. I mean, come on.
Their wives were like that.
Husbands also. So they were leaving Jericho in order to go to Jerusalem early in the morning. And they were outside the city gates, and suddenly this blind man, a beggar, calls them and says, please, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then what the next thing that happens and what Mark is writing here is so beautiful. The Bible says that Jesus stood still. Actually, the Greek has a connotation of that Bartimaeus made Jesus to stop. His begging, his calling, his praying, in a sense, made Jesus to stop. And all the disciples made them to stop. It's a beautiful sentence. You know, when you ask Jesus something, when you call upon his name, when you approach him with a sincere heart, when you cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know what's going to happen? Jesus will stand still. Jesus will stop. Jesus has time for you. He's not a God who is on rush and has no time for you. If you are on the road begging for something and you cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner, God will stop and will listen to you. The last thing I want to talk is that there is a super interesting detail here. Mark writes that after Jesus had called Bartimaeus, Mark writes like this, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Hey, the guy is blind. Do you have a blind friend? I have a blind friend. I mean, my blind friend, he's not jumping at all. Yeah, right? I mean, if you walk with my blind friend, Christoph, I mean, it's slow, okay? Hey, Christoph, there's a right, you have to go left, hey, there's a corner, there are stairs, and we walk slowly, always peaceful. The text goes, he jumped on his feet and came to Jesus. A blind man. I ask myself reading the story, why in the world is not Jesus coming to him? I mean, Jesus can walk. Jesus can see. Why has the blind man Bartimaeus come to Jesus? I think there's a lesson hidden here. I think that in our life it's the same thing. When we call upon Jesus, Jesus stops and reaches out his hand. But what we have to do, there has to be an act of faith where we are active and we come to Jesus also. There has to be something from our part where we get up and we walk to Jesus. What I found interesting here also is, for a blind beggar, his cloak is probably all he had. It's like this shopping cart, a thing in English, it's trolley. Trolley? British English? It's trolley. I think the Americans say shopping cart. That's what I looked up in the morning today. I didn't know what Einkaufswagen means in English. You know, these beggars on the streets, the homeless, they have this shopping cart, and in there, there's everything they have. I also think that putting this in here, this word that he left behind his cloak, means that everything he had, he left behind. You know, he did not just stop and perhaps took his cloak and folded it nicely and told his friends, there were probably more people begging, hey bro, keep my spot. If this thing with Jesus is not working out, I just come back and back again. Now, he jumps on his feet, leaves everything behind, goes to Jesus because in his heart he knows that's my divine encounter. Today is my day. I will get healed. Nothing will hold me back. And he comes to Jesus and he has his divine encounter and Jesus heals the man. Jesus heals the man. You know, you have to come to Jesus. And if Jesus calls you, just leave everything behind. What is holding you back? Leave everything behind. What is holding you back? The best thing that can happen is to be with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to encounter Jesus. If he calls you, leave everything behind. The cloak could mean anything. Your worries, your uncertainties, your shame, your self-pity. If you call upon Jesus, say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you need something from him, just leave it behind. Don't fold it, and like a small pet, you know, you just take care of it. Just leave it behind. Come to Jesus as if you already know that he has the thing that you need. Could it be that we have missed so many encounters with God because we heard his call, but we are too lazy to get up? Slow to be obedient. Yeah, perhaps we love too much the things of this world. The last question I want to ask you this morning is, where do you in your life still owe Jesus an answer? Did he already ask you something and you are still sitting on the sideway not knowing what to do? Do you still owe him a positive answer? If so, what is it? Are you all in the case of Jesus, or are you still saying, hey, well, after my school is finished, I'm all in. Hey, after my university is finished, I'm all in. Hey, after my destructive relationship is over, I'm all in. Hey, after my this and that will happen, I'm all in. Don't wait. If a blind man with faith could jump on his feet and could leave everything behind in order to encounter Jesus, you can do the same. Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Except Joseph. Lord, we want to thank you so much that when we call upon your name with a sincere heart, you stop everything and you listen to us. Jesus, we want to thank you that when we call upon your name, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. Thank you, Lord, that you stop and you listen to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are coming half the way, and thank you that we can participate and also come the second part of the way in order to encounter you. And I want to ask you now that you are standing, is there an answer that you owe Jesus? Is there something in your heart that Jesus already asked you and you're holding back? If so, could you give Jesus right in this moment the answer to his question? Secondly, I think that Jesus asked you this morning, what do you want from me? What is your heart desire? What do you want from Jesus? What do you want from Jesus? What do you desire? What are you longing for? What are you begging for a long time? Jesus wants to serve you this morning. He wants to encounter you this morning. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to come and embrace you. What do you want from him? Just ask him. Just say what you want. What is your cloak that you have to leave behind? Tell Jesus, what do you want to leave behind? Mm-hmm.